The Vox Markets Podcast.
It's 12 o'clock. Welcome to Taking Stock. It's the 12th of 12th, 2023. Johnny Boy's here. You're right, Johnny.
Not bad. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right. It's fun to see. It's funny. We had a bit of a discussion yesterday when you were in here, and I think it was Informer, who was quite down on Hargreaves Lansdown, saying he thinks Robin Hood, when they come to the UK, obviously there's a lot of these accounts now. It's free trade, 212, Robin Hood coming. You know, it's free to trade, pretty much. They do ISA as well. And he was saying that will they take a bit of a hammering, Hargreaves Lansdown? I said, I don't know. They have to spend a lot of marketing to get the kind of market share that Hargreaves Lansdown has got, or to make an impact on them. But out today, and it's covered on Vox front page as well. Let's just share the screen and we'll talk about this. By the way, a bit of housekeeping. By all means, hit that subscribe button if you could. We're getting there slowly. Come on, hit the subscribe button, like it if you like the content, and of course, download the Vox Markets app, voxmarkets.co.uk, follow us on app. In fact, Johnny, one of yours here as well, regulator and probe, we'll go into that, but that's not good news, is it? They're greenwashing, apparently.
They wouldn't be the only ones.
Yeah. Hargreaves Lansdown, AJ Bell, taking a tumble on double dipping. So this is what? Fees they're charging and interest on money. Is that right?
Yeah. So they're charging customers fees and taking money on their, taking the interest payments on their cash hold. Yeah. So if you've got money in your broker sitting in cash, then Hargreaves is making a turn on that.
Yeah.
And quite a healthy one as well.
To repeat those figures, the breakdown of revenue they get, because that was quite interesting. I didn't suspect that they were making the most money from that section.
So they make 230, so this is the last 4 years to June 23, 236.4 million from fund fees, 147.7 from share commissions and equity holding charges, and then 268.7 million on net interest earned on cash held in investment accounts.
Wow. So they're making the most money holding people's cash.
Revenue line holding cash. And it's very, very profitable, as you would imagine.
Yeah, well, that's why, Informer was in there, that's why they do quite well, because they've got a lot of people's cash there, and they're earning a decent amount of money off it. But
the FCA published a letter, and in this letter, they mention that... Where's this letter gone?
It's one here, so this may not reasonably reflect the cost to firms of managing the cash. They sent 42 firms, 29 they sent a letter to, didn't they, apparently?
And they said, till February to rectify this.
Yeah.
And the FCA said, if they don't rectify it, we will intervene, quote. I've got this story off Bloomberg, actually. They reckon that the 42 brokers in June alone earned 74 million from retained interest. Actually, it was a regulatory survey that found that. So, that's a very large number. And obviously, it's gone up because, interest rates have gone up. So, again, it's the same old story of not passing on interest
yeah,
rates.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, we do have another fund manager, sort of St. James's Place a while back, be scrutinised by the FCA and all that stuff. And, your fees are too high and all this stuff. The thing is, it's sort of a natural market disruption. You are getting these free people come in. In the end, people will... In fact, one of the comments from yesterday, let me just look at this. Stephen said, Justin, I'm migrating away from H&L and switching to AJ Bell. Gradually, one or the other. Okay, HL are expensive. I will retain a foothold with them because their website is good, better than the competitors. I'm considering other platforms, but the free trade ones must have a catch. I suspect it will be spread on trading. I say this as they have to make their money somehow.
Well, or stock lending was another way that free brokers used to make money.
Yeah, but also, like I said, if they are amassing lots of cash, then surely they can, sit on that for a bit. I know a lot of these startups are not making money, are they? I mean, free trade is losing money. 212, I suspect, not making money. I don't know Robin Hood. So they're actually making money here. They're trying to gain market share because it's a very lucrative business. Once you get into it.
If you're offering free platform fees and free, equity trading commissions, then there would be a case for saying, but we make our money if you leave your investments in cash. We'll take the interest. You can sort of accept that you're getting one thing for free, but you're giving something up. But I guess the regulator's problem here is that some of these bigger brokers are enjoying the best of both worlds.
It's like that Seinfeld sketch. No double dipping. No, that party, and he's just double dipping his little thing. Hey, you're double dipping. You're double dip.
Funny enough, my observation said there's three, essentially three, major listed brokers, Hargreaves and AJ Bell. AJ Bell had some numbers out this week, as you can see from that chart. The numbers were great, you know.
They rose there 15%. Yeah, look at that, 16%. And now they can't. Mm. To be fair, I mean, they're not at previous lows, which says something. It may take a while to, you know, because, of course, this is news just come out today. But, you know, Hargreaves there did it at a low pretty much of 680. They're now 712. So they're not hitting that low. I mean, if any worries are out there, maybe you could argue they're priced in, because like, they've come down a heck of a long way. You know,
yeah, yeah. I mean, the broker I use is Interactive, yeah, which was bought by Aberdeen, how you want to pronounce it without vowels in it.
Aberdeen.
They're off slightly less today. Aberdeen Interactive do pay interest on cash holdings, but maybe not passing it on in full, but I reckon I get about 3.5% on my cash that sits there. So it's not terrible.
Did they do that with Aberdeen, just to bring in the Scottish accent? Aberdeen.
Who knows? It's, the classic corporate pointless rebranding.
Yeah. So, as you know, it's a big week this week for the Fed first come out with interest rate announcement, then the Bank of England and the ECB. But I keep saying, you know, bad news is good news. That's the title here of this thing. And as you can see here, UK pay growth slows and job market stalls. Yeah, excluding bonuses, ease 7.3, still high. But I mean, that will come down as inflation comes down. But look at this. This is quite worrying. Pacing inflation. The number of people on payrolls eased while the UK job vacancies also continued to fall, this time by 45,000 between December. Now, this is now the longest period of decline on record. Longer than the immediate aftermath of the 2008 downturn. That must surely, you know, flag up to the central banks where we are at the moment. You know, we're going into, things are slowing down. It's not going to get any better. I can't see the job markets picking up in next year, because you've still got high interest rates, costs and all that stuff, you know, cost of inflation. Cost of goods is still going up. Yeah, maybe slower, but still going up. And look at this. This is a 17 month in a row that number has fallen. That, you know, let's be honest. It's pretty much nailed on this week. They're not going to hike rates. But that there, is, to me, should flash red warning signals, because this comes before inflation, of course. People take a while to adapt, don't they? You know, and sooner or later, people, after Christmas, they start really, we spent a lot, and my business is not doing well, or my employer is worrying a bit. And people start to tighten their belts massively. So I think you know, inflation will come down, and jobs numbers will go up, and the central banks will have to stimulate, or at least ease on inflation rates, interest rates, I mean, you know? So
Well, we had some numbers this week from Begbie's Trainers, which is the insolvency practitioner. So, you know, there was a clue in those numbers. They were really good numbers. But they're seeing, you know, higher year-on-year insolvency activity. And obviously that will have a knock-on effect into the jobs market as well. So you know, the economy is getting tough. The medicine is working. But, you know, not medicine that's good for the rest of us. Good for the, you know, the fight against inflation. But we are starting to see very clear signs that these forces are becoming extremely recessionary. H&T, interestingly, one of mine. Quite sharply yesterday.
Yeah, why is that? I saw that. I mean, why did that happen?
Well, so basically no news. There was no news that came through the RNS, but Shawcap, who are their house broker, upgraded their forecast for 2024 and 25. Or I say upgraded, they downgraded their profit forecast for 2024 and 25. And it's basically based on higher wage costs. Their costs are rising. So the loan book, the pledge book is getting bigger, but the costs of running the business are getting higher. So that's had a material effect.
Just when it was breaking out, you can see that support level there. It dipped down below it, broke back above it, bumped 200 moving average, and I was back down almost below that, or right on that support level there, sort of 420.
But I think, you know, I saw that as an example where, you know, obviously I hold it up, I'll get rid of it. So I still think it's a good business. And I don't think it will be alone in suffering these elevated wage costs. You know, it's still rising. Yeah. They might not be rising as quickly as they were, but they are still rising quickly.
Yeah.
And so I think this could be the first of many similar warnings about the actual costs of staffing. And again, that will potentially translate into trimming of staff levels, potentially.
Well, exactly. But if you are a strong business and you're doing well, it's sort of fine. But I mean, how many businesses out there are strong and doing well?
H&T is a strong business doing well.
No, that's what I'm saying. Begbie's Trainers, H&T, those kind of contrarian plays. And there are others out there. And that's why I keep saying, look around. You know, if you are in a sort of, sort of high sort of intensity sort of you know a human resource company that have to employ a lot of people, you know, and they have to increase their wages, and that's in the face of a slowing down economy. If you are consumer facing and it's also discretionary and you've got a bit of debt, it's literally you are in trouble both ends there, aren't you? Because end, what you're going to have to do is, you know, reduce costs, and your highest cost is labor. So you get rid of people. Again, that's the inflation, because obviously less people with jobs, less people spend.
I think that's a very good observation. I think, you know, the kind of perhaps red flags you should be looking for at a market at the moment are how people intensive is the company.
Yes.
You know what proportion of its costs are people, and as you say, how much debt is on its balance sheet. If you've got high labor costs and high debt, then I would be very wary.
Yes. Well, high labor costs, high debt, but also almost consumer discretionary, you know, that kind of thing as well. There is the making of a perfect storm. You know, less demand, you know, you've got higher costs, and so be careful of that. That's Unilever. It hasn't really dropped for today.
It wouldn't drop on something
greenwashing,
like that. It wouldn't drop on something like that. I think, you know, the problems that Unilever have, with the share price in particular, have been more the sort of worries about trading down from branded products. Slowing volume growth.
They say the competition markets are even overstating how green certain products are. So-called green products, they aren't what they seem. I suspect a lot of people do that. Let's be honest. Who isn't doing that?
The thing is, that's sort of actually going to go back to the brand thing. There are lots of, if consumers are becoming more ecologically conscious, then there are lots of brands out there that are genuinely green. What will ultimately happen is Unilever will buy them.
Yeah. Quick comments here. By all means, comment, join in. Hi, you mentioned Future a few times in recent videos. You said you were looking to invest before the recent update. No, not before the recent update. Oh, no. In this market, never invest before financial results come out. Is it fair to say you invested after the share price crashed? No, it's not fair to say that at all. No, I mean, if you know me, I've been banging on about it, but obviously not enough. But I look at growth, value, health, efficiency, potential, momentum, and they haven't. First of all, I mean, where they are good is this. I mean, they've got efficiency, they've got good margins, they've got good potential as well, and the valuation is very good. They're now not a growth company, so they'll have to get that growth back. But the CEO said they were going to get growth back. But one of the most important things is, like I keep banging on about the chart, is momentum. And literally hasn't got any momentum. I would never buy into a company where it's looking like this in the chart. It's like, essentially, if you want to swim and swim fast, where do you want to swim? With the current or against it? And that is really against the current. Look, it's dropped off a cliff there. There's no momentum there at all. Even if you put on a short trading arm, the 20-day moving average, it's not crossing.
And I think we're still seeing a lot of share prices looking like that at the moment.
Yeah. And if you look back at any rise it's ever had, right, it has to cross those moving averages before it gets anywhere. Look back at the big rise it had previously. So if you go back to the last downturn, sort of when was this, 2021, like I said, it crossed down there. It has to cross the 20-day moving average anyway, and the 200-day. In fact, you go back to the dash for cash crash. It dipped down. When would you jump in? It's hard to guess the bottom, so don't bother trying, because if you try and guess the bottom, it can go lower.
Well, it's the same with Hargreaves, going back to that. I mean, it's just a very similar-looking share price.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not... not far off its lows if it's certainly hit them over the last month or so. And I've said I'm attracted to this business. You know, it's a big broker. Yeah. There's inertia in the market, but you know, with that, as you say, with that downtrend, you look at that thing.
But it's just like but the thing is, we're all animals, we're greedy animals who want to get the most amount of profit. But often by trying to be a bit greedy and trying to guess the bottom, we don't get any profit. We get lost. It gets cheaper and cheaper and cheaper.
So
you may as well just wait until momentum comes in. And in fact, as simple as this is, I mean, on TradingView, this is how you literally right-click on the price there, add alert, crossing 200-day moving average, click that, and you can, and it'll tell you when it's crossed 200. And I've been the last few times just done that. Like I said, last time it crossed down, it went down, the COVID got dashed up, crossed back up. And so wait until the money flow is in the right direction, because at the moment it's not.
This is sort of, again, it's a cognitive bias. You know, we're just sort of drawn to action when it comes to investing. You're drawn to doing something.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a whole world of media out there, that want you to act. You know, people want you to invest. Companies want you to invest in them. Fund managers want you to invest in them. Everybody wants you to invest in them. There's hardly any people out there that say, don't do it. within the industry.
Exactly.
You're drawn to action the whole time. And our, you know, inherent makeup makes us drawn to action the whole time as well. And sometimes the best thing to do is nothing. What this period gives us the time to do is just sit back and actually take the time to research companies that you're interested in. So you ain't going to miss much on the way back up. But you've got the time to actually take a very, very good hard look at a company like Vue to really understand the business before you make a decision.
Like I said, sat down for an hour and a bit the other day watching the presentation of an evening. I did like what he was saying about going into America. He's from America. He's done very well in America. He said we got two to one sales in the UK compared to America. America's seven times as big. We've got a playbook over here we can do over there, but we're going to start deploying people over there. Yeah. So I do like that. But it's essentially, I'm there are plenty of companies like this on my watch list that are, it's just timing. I'm going to wait. The market hasn't turned yet. There's plenty of time, like John said there, plenty of time to research. And I said, doing nothing, having patience is the biggest discipline you need, I think, in this market, because you can jump in on a cheap share, it'll keep getting cheaper. And so you'll go down.
Do you want to see something with some serious momentum? YCA.
YMCA. Oh, this is yellow cake, yeah? Yeah, look at that.
Yeah.
And that's exactly, I mean, even here, you see, it's done very well, isn't it? Three states of the chart, John, isn't it? Three states of the chart, uptrend, downtrend range. And like I said, down there, downtrend, broke 200 day, new highs up here, didn't touch 200 day, dipped once or twice there, up again, broke up, little bit of a range, that's coming to range, and now back up again, way above the 200 day moving average, you see it's broken right up. Wow.
Exactly. They have some numbers out this week, so they're
going like nuclear.
Indeed. Well, they're increasing their holdings of uranium, but more importantly, the uranium spot price is going through the roof, so the value of those holdings are increasing at the same time. Double whammy of good news behind this share price. And then you've got the COP28 climate summit going on outside of the Middle East, and you've had huge commitments to rolling out nuclear from around the world. So the stars are aligned for this one. And, I mean, you sort of get a bit giddy when a share price looks like that, but how much further can it go? But momentum is powerful.
Cohort came up on one of John's screening pages last week, and the defence industry results tomorrow. Even the chart looks prime. Yeah, we did look at that. Let's look at the chart of Cohort. Let's see, HR. Yeah, last, was it Friday?
We did the screen on Friday.
Let's have a look.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you look at that, I mean, it is, it's higher lows there. All of a sudden, you've got here, it's a bit of a busy chart, but you've got here now maybe the start of a higher high here. Then you've got a higher low. It's almost bottoming out there. It's nice.
Very decent growth forecast for the next few years as well. Certainly in the pre-tax line, plus 36% 24, plus another 6% 25, plus another 8% 26. PE less than 15. Defense spending is going to rise.
Defense is not defensive. It's offensive.
It's really offensive at the moment. But that said, over the years, a lot of what you have to remember about defense. Again, you have to be careful. There is a rising tide, but lots of the UK players, not your BAEs and your Rolls Royces, but a lot of the smaller players are providing subsystems for very larger, much larger defence projects. And that can be fraught with difficulties. We've seen a lot of companies run into trouble over the years in the defence market because they're further down the value chain.
Michael, you asked about H&L and Age of Bell. I assume we've covered that there, but basically FCA looking into them, overcharging, double dipping. No double dipping. Nice initial news from JLP today, a high-profile funding partner to next Zambian devs, but it needs ironing out over the next few weeks. That's Mr. Steve. JLP.
Jubilee.
Oh, is it Jubilee Metals? I'm not into resource.
Ooh, seriously, no, actually, just think, I don't. I mean, again, I don't spend a lot of time looking at miners, but I'm just looking at their. It's the biggest producing.
Yeah, no, they are. They do tailings dumps and all that stuff. So it's a roller stream. I mean, they're on the podcast years ago, but look at that. That's just the resource sector. I mean, it's come down literally. You see, from Feb 2022,
profits have been going
back. Nice big update today. Look at that, up 23%. But again, maybe that's the end of the downtrend. You see a little bit of a rise there, but JLP. John, have you tried? I mean, you said who are you with? Interactive, is it?
Interactive, yeah.
Okay. Informer said, have I tried 2 and 2? No, I've tried Free Trade. It's very good. The app is very easy to use. Very impressive. J&J, I know this about stocks, but what's your view on direct gilt investments? 30% plus modified duration, is that year, on a TG61? Is this still English? If you are convinced interest rates will cut, why not? I find them so boring. I like businesses. I like to invest in businesses and research businesses. There's a story there. Gilts, there's no story.
There's a macro story.
Now, you may as well sit back in the comfy chair and wait for death. That's what I think. That's my thoughts.
I think there's a lot of moving parts in the gilt market, which I've always been an equities guy. So, were I to invest in gilts, I would probably hand it over to an expert. But there was, again, some portfolio construction says you should have some exposure to gilts.
If you're passive, I'm not passive though. I'm literally, I look at shares every day. I mean, I agree with that. I mean, there are, Vanguard funds, retirement funds that do that, and they basically adjust. It's very clever. You basically put in your data retirement, and then they adjust the amount of shares, equity to bonds you hold. And as you get, every year or something, it slowly goes. So it starts off, I think, something like 60-40, and then close to get retirement. 60% equities, 40% bonds. Yeah. And then the closer you get to retirement, it starts to get bonds go overweight then.
Which generally
having said that, you've been knackered to be retired the last couple of years. And you're
But that's poor indeed. The old 60-40 idea sort of went a bit out the window in recent years. But then the idea, as you get towards retirement, you should be focused more on capital preservation.
Yeah.
The last thing you want to do is hit retirement and find your pot just suddenly vanishes.
I just think that's why I like dividend paying fund. I think the biggest companies that I've got in the UK, they pay good dividends, and I think there's 50 of them. It's not going to be that volatile, but it just pays out, of over 5% dividend, and of course you can get rises. So I think that's quite safe.
But it's also why, when a lot of people do hit retirement, they buy an annuity.
Yeah.
But then, if you then have a sudden inflation spike and you bought an annuity paying, X amount a year, and suddenly that's worth 5-10% less a year than it was before, then you're stuck with that. You've got to replace that fixed income from somewhere else. So, I mean, there's always so many moving parts, and every situation is completely individual.
Exactly.
Useless advice.
That's it, though. That's why the markets are so hard. So when you get into them, I mean, you've got to have a strategy in some way. And I think, it is quite hard. I mean, I think generally, if you're going to be passive, just go for a low cost, very well diversified fund. In fact, it's like the Vanguard All Shares, about 8,000 stocks around the world, and it's never going to take a massive tanking, but it's never going to shoot up like crazy. And it's why quantitative easing.
There is a role for financial advisors. There is a role for people who
charge you to put you in that fund.
They might buy
a load of funds you can buy yourself, and they'll charge you for it.
Gives people a peace of mind.
Yes, and takes a piece of their wages. So on the front page of Fox, mobile streams expanded. They're quite a retiring flower there. Shy about that. I like what they said here in the RNS. Look at this. MOS, they've taken their 10% in this Mexican 10% interest in Capital Media and its partners intend to create one of the largest sports media groups in the UK by partnering with one of the largest media publishers in Mexico. They've got ambition, they're not scared to express that. They've raised some money to do that.
Yeah. Well, they've been doing these big NFT deals with a lot of the Mexican sports market, football teams. They've done the NFT deals with artists as well. They've done NFT deals with golfers. It's a sports mad market. There's something there.
As you said, like a miner, there's something there, I think. That's the chart of mobile sports. Atlantic Lithium have done their first mineral resource estimate for a byproduct of spodumene, which is feldspar for ceramics, which
ceramic is ceramic manufacturing. That's good. But then that helps their ESG criteria because they're that's supporting the development of another industry within Ghana. The ceramics industry.
Second revenue.
And obviously, if they are able to sell that byproduct, then that brings them an additional revenue stream on top of the lithium. Talking of ESG, we had some from Cleantech today as well, who've done.
Look at that. Look at the chart of the thing. It's flirting that 200-day moving average. It is almost at this previous sport, it needs to get above that. And I think a good bit more news, and it may punch. Sometimes you see companies flirt with 200 million values, and all you need is a good bit of news, and it'll pump up. CTL, yeah. So they've done a partnership with the community to this is,
yeah, but indigenous communities.
You've got to do that, isn't it? With mining companies, you've 100%. Got to do that. You've got to bring them on board. Everyone in that area, you've got to bring them on board. You can't just go there and start mining in their community and say, right, we're doing this. We're creating loads of money.
They've said this is their approach in the beginning. Yeah. Good to see in action. But yeah, this is what all miners have to do in this day and age. If they want to sell a product into, say, Western markets where there's very, very, you know, significant ESG concerns, then they have to make sure that their chain, their production chain is squeaky clean and sort of, you know, as inclusive as the communities as possible and as environmentally unimpactful as possible as well.
Ooh, that's come down a bit. But do you know what?
It's a lithium price.
Yeah, lithium price. I mean, I think Atlantic is holding up because you've got to be a low-cost producer than they are. And I think these guys maybe as well. But do you know what? It's quite funny. I read an RNS many years back. I thought it was a joke about someone in Africa doing some mining or doing a project in Africa. And to get permission, this is the kind of thing you have to do, they had to give the community elder of the village a cow. I was in the RNS.
Oh, yeah. It's important to respect indigenous customs. I'm just looking at
it. I just kids up laughing. I thought, really?
I live in South Africa. Something goes on all the time. It's pigs around here.
There's a pig, mate, and you can take my daughter's hand in marriage.
We're not far away from that. the clean tech lithium price, the Atlantic lithium price, they very much reflect the lithium carbonate price.
We got clean tech there. Singapore broadens Bellascura, Asian market. They've been approved there, haven't they? And they're breaking up into.
Yeah.
Do I think what's the Bellascura chart like? Because it did rise and then it came back a lot. Bellascura. Oh no, so it's at the bottom. It's had a little rally today. But what's the market cap of Bellascura these days? I know we've had some issues with our data on our site, and it's now been sorted out. But 32, is that right? Yeah. Okay.
I'll
have a look as well. Confirm that. Just look at this. So there's a couple of results out there. I don't know if you saw them, but where is it? So Sander, of course, always good to look into these because you can see how the sort of online or fashion markets in half year results for them. They are, of course, a lot smaller than the big players like ASOS and Boohoo. But where's the figures here? Net revenue growth 6%, 22 million up to 21. Loss before tax to 1.3. So they were, made 100 grand of profit in last time. Gross margin increased to 54. So that's a good sign. Net cash 7 million. So they've got cash. And how much they lost? 1.3. So they've got plenty of cash there. But all these sort of fashion retailers, they've been hammered, haven't they? I think you said, did you say recently that if you have bricks and mortar, pretty much you're holding up better than online? Is it online or not?
It's online. Yeah.
It's just online. Okay.
Yeah.
But look at that torrid time again. It's come down. It lows recently, October 2023. It's just bouncing off that level.
I think what we're saying the other day is if you look at the charts and say Next, B&M, Frasers, which are, of course, they have an online presence and quite significant online presence. It's B&M actually doesn't. But they're really, really bouncing strongly after post-pandemic period of weakness.
The B&M haven't got an online presence, do they?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Well, they just deny it. They think it's a fad, do they? Prince the Martyrs, he thought that for a while. He says it's a fad, it'll go away. And then all of a sudden he decided to do all his albums online. So he changed his mind completely.
It's just not their model. You could look at, look at TK Maxx. I mean, it's great.
Well, in fact, Primark for a while didn't do it at all, did they? Who else?
Well, because you want people to come to the shop and impulse purchase Next is very cleverly combined sort of physical and online. So actually having the physical presence makes actually the whole e-commerce delivery a lot easier. Click and collect has become a much, much bigger part of the business mix. When it comes to sort of things like returns, that makes it so much easier. Actually, people, you know, they often want stuff on a certain day and are happy to go and pick it up rather than it sort of being left in the rain on the doorstep, Amazon. Yeah. It's sort of the market has shifted. The sentiment towards online versus bricks and mortar, stroke click and collect, has shifted. Hybrid. Everything should be hybrid.
This is a stock, right, that's rallied. Paul Scott talked about this, but I watched this a while back, and I just looked at them and thought, they're not good value at all. But they literally, look at that other chart on that. MS International.
It does,
right?
What does it do?
Yeah. It's like in infrastructure framework, for like petrol stations, and a little bit of defence as well. But this is a website, look at their website, right? So that's their website.
Awesome. Well, at least you know what they do.
It's almost like the sixth form son of the director's knocked down, isn't he, or something? But...
It's very clear exactly what they do.
Yeah, yeah. So Public Energy Code London, in defence, forgings, petrol station superstructures, all that kind of stuff. I kind of like that
website.
Yeah. For the half year results out of the day, the profit before tax increased substantially to 7.7, which is nice, up to 3.6 versus revenue 57. So if you do 14, well, I suppose it's a PE of 10, and they sort of, so it's not that bad, really, or something close to that. So balance sheet strong, net cash of 50 million. Wow. That's why. So the EV is literally, what's their market cap? So the market cap, so the EV is about 100 million. So yeah, okay. They're quite cheap then. They're not expensive. That's not that bad.
Yeah, they're not giving much away, are they? I'm just looking at the same. So there's not really any.
It's the opposite of mobile streams. I think over deliver maybe.
I'll tell you what's driven. I mean, defense and security. Boom. Yeah. There you go. Back to that.
Interesting. They literally have got, what was it, cash, unrestricted, 42 million at that. So have they got any debt? No, they haven't got debt, have they? So they've got no debt. Plenty of, that's, I do like a company like that with no debt, plenty of cash. No messing around. That's what I like.
US Navy contracts expected to commence later this year, deliveries.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Have you used 212? No, I haven't. You got a free ISA. Your cash is 4.5%. That's good. But in ISA, you get 4% just for holding cash. So if you don't invest, that means they'll give you 4.5%. That's very good, actually.
I think that's decent. As long as you can get it out straight away, then, you know, and invest it straight away, there's no lock-in on that. And that's a good interest rate.
Yeah, do you know what you're convincing me in for? I said, once I went from my broker to 212, all I could think about was how long I'd been a fool for paying fees when I didn't have to. Exactly. They're now paying you. And so that will tip the balance. Already I'm thinking, so I'm sitting on, my portfolio, I'm not fully invested. I've got cash there, and again, I could get some money for that. Yeah.
Trustpilot 23,635 reviews, average review 4.6 out of 5 stars.
That's right, isn't it?
Yeah, very right.
So Mr. Steve says UK unemployment is pretty low levels. Yes, it is, but it's predicting the Bank of England even predicting go up to over 5% over the next year or so. So it is going to tick up, slowly will tick up. Unless you have a rolling off mortgage or increasing rents, you're laughing at this cost of living crisis in the face.
Yeah, well, somebody's. I mean, I was reading something earlier about the rental market, and that there may be some pressure further pressure on landlords, because although, you know, we talked about it in respect of Belvoir on Friday, you know, the rental market is very strong for the, you know, for landlords, that rents are rising. I think they've about 10% or something this year.
Well, in fact, there's news out from Zoopla today. In fact, let me just get it up there. I think it was, where did I see that? News out from Zoopla, BBC. I saw that. And they're saying rents have now peaked, they're saying.
Well, this is exactly it. So it's because of affordability. So,
yeah.
You know, if landlords, you know, can't extract more rent increases out of their tenants, which it seems unlikely that they can because of the cost of living crisis, then you may see some pressure on landlords' ability to own houses.
There are the most commented rent. These have actually gone up for in the last, is it last, since 2021? So some of them have gone up for rent, pretty much. But they're saying now it's, peaked. still big increase, but they have peaked. And rents across the UK have been rising sharply, with the average cost for new let going up by 31%, or £3,368 a year over the last 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah,
but now they're starting to peak out because people can't afford it. They're going to live with their parents or something, or whatever they do.
Well, you just people cohabit more, won't they? It's just like they did in the old days.
I see. And that leads to more babies.
What is that, this life.
That'll lead to more babies, more productivity, you know, more buying.
Every cloud.
Bigger population.
Every cloud has a silver lining.
Yeah. One other bit of news, image scan holdings. Have you ever heard of these? A tiny little.
I don't remember doing them.
Yeah, look at that. Literally, I think the results of the day, IGE, didn't see it. Is it a tiddler, if that's to believe, 2.28 million market cap, image scanner, a technology which was listed on the London Stock Exchange. We operate globally, both directly and through partners from our headquarters. So I'm assuming, but these are final results today. And look at that, order intake up 31%, 2.9, sales 3 million, so more than one-time sales here. Gross profit, 48%, cost down, pre-tax profit of 100,000. Cash of 1 million, but if they're making money, they don't need that much cash. But I mean, they're a tiddler with probably little liquidity. But in my mind, they go down a day. They're down 10%. So what am I missing here? You know, are they saying the outlook is looking bad? Because outlook, heightened engagement, trade shows when the strengthening of opportunity value. Where's the however? So I don't know why they dropped 10%.
Well, it's just, as you said, if there's not a lot of liquidity, then you know it doesn't take a lot to move the share price by quite a big chunk.
They're saying here, ImageScan has successfully navigated through the challenges posed by this year's inflationary pressures, as well as disruption of supply chains. While the impact of supply chains is diminishing, there remains a concern regarding the supply of certain components that are beyond our control. So is that a little bit of negative in there? Any negative in the RNSs these days in the bear market?
Well, you've got looking at KPI, go back up a bit. There's key performance indicators there. So, you know, look, gross margin has slipped. Order intake is low, and it was in 2019.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, these are nice little companies. You do wonder why they're listed. Because you know, they seem like nice little private companies.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you know, the cost of listing. I mean, I've heard half a million a year, pretty much. So if that's your turnover, pretty much just gone. So you do. Why not go private? I know, but that'll be tank the shares, I suppose.
Yeah, well,
there you go. Okay. Anything else? Just on.
The only thing I noticed today was Headland, but it's more just the sort of this is floor coverings distributor. Shares
Headland.
Down.
Oh, Headland.
Shares down about 5%. And I mean, not terrible. Not, it's a trading update, but it's just again, I was only going to pick it out as a sign that you know, not all of the stuff we've talked about, the weakening economy, has yet filtered through to the market. So then we get a little update like today to give us a little slap to remind us that there's still some bad news that isn't necessarily all priced in.
Yeah, Headlam, we're saying. I'm going to spell that wrong, aren't I? Headlam. So what's their size? 162.
Yeah. We've
got a trading update. Okay.
Look, volume of sales in the UK market, 20% low. We know that, but it just shows that things out there are still very, very tough.
Yeah, okay. I want to say that. Yeah. Just to finish off on the comments here. Let's look here. Michael S, I cursed Good Energy, down 27%. Sorry, guys. Yeah, you did buy, when it was rising quite at the top there. Just check out the RSI. When a company's RSI is above like 70, just hold back a bit, you know. But Good Energy is coming off a bit. My stop loss is about to kick in. Small company share watch. Golden Cross and Solly. This is Solly State. Let's look at the chart of Solly State here.
They had some nice numbers recently.
Let's put the 50-day moving average on so you can see that Golden Cross. And, that's the wrong one. That's a crossover.
Yeah.
It's in a bit of a rangy thing. But if it stays above that, that's good. I mean, obviously, the price needs to stay above 50-day moving average to drag it up further. And then eventually, if it continues up there, the 200-day moving average will go up.
We briefly mentioned them last week.
Yeah, we did mention
them. Interim results. But again, there's a bit of defense stuff in there as well.
Yeah, Michael McBride, brilliant run. Have you been in McBride? Let's look. Yeah, because didn't they do a sell-off? And then let's look at the chart.
This company's had more sell-offs than I've had hot dinners.
Wow, look at that. You can get that. You can get that kind of thing. When you get oversold business, that happened in Good Energy. But what's going to happen now, though, you get what Good Energy's had, you'll have a major pullback, okay? And so be aware of that. Like, so you've got to be in before that run happens. You have a major pullback, who knows to where it'll come down to, but... it may need to come back down to this sort of 60 pence level. Maybe that's previous support there, but can't tell really. But you know, you get some selling coming in. And I mean, of course, selling begets selling. So be careful when you have a big breakneck rise of that. That's why I prefer just small little rises rather than breakneck rises, because you do have them people buying it. No offense, Michael S., but buying at the top, selling straight away when it starts to fall, and that. It's selling begets selling, it's momentum, and so sometimes a breakneck rise is not what you want.
One thing I would say about McBride, just looking at the financials, the shares are still extremely cheap, less than six times.
Yeah, yeah, that can happen. But when you have a rise of that, people take profit. But a lot of people, you'd be surprised how many people don't know about valuations. They don't care. They're just sitting on a profit. They say, "I'm going to take the profit now," or some people jumping in, chasing the share price, then just selling, realizing, but you know, it may have to consolidate and come round for a while, because, like I said, it's gone risen a lot.
It's this whole business. It's a very, very low margin business.
Yeah,
you know, it's a volume game. But you know, they are in the right place. We know that, you know, they do a lot of. They make a lot of sort of, you know, private label stuff for Audi, Lidl, etc. But it's a low margin business. Execution is everything, and you know, this is where the problem's been in the past. You know, one slip up and it's a disaster on the bottom line. Still a long way below all time highs.
Yeah, Gregory, the uranium price is good news for Geiger counter, bigger profit for miners when they come update. Also, a cow is expensive. Yeah, Mr. Steve, I hope the cow lived long and a healthy life. And Gregory said the cow probably was more profitable than the mine. Yeah, that is the case. without giving that cow away, they wouldn't be able to move on with the project. Very good. I don't know if that was.
Oh, wow. Is it that time of year? The Christmas
just back from the dentist. Is it Steve? Just back from the dentist. Have you discussed RWS?
No, we haven't.
We have. No, we haven't.
No, we haven't.
What was RWS? Did we see what was the news on that? Is there anything?
There were some numbers out today. I did mean to mention this. They're down 10%. I mean, it's what have they got? They got annual results out. I must admit, I had it at the top. The revenue's down, profit adjusted PBT down, net cash down quite a lot. I'm trying to find anything good in this statement.
Yeah, down everything down. Profit loss 113% from 83 to 10 minus 11 million. Wow.
It's a bit of a messy statement, that one.
52 total liabilities. So they got 52. I just wonder how much debt they got there. 52. Anything else? Payables, lease liabilities. No. Okay, it was not that bad. Cash.
Pretty horrible looking set of numbers.
Okay, let's have a. How did the market react to that today? The market.
Badly.
The market.
Like very badly.
Oh yes. Yeah. You can see there. You know, it broke down. Is that a previous trading update? I know there, maybe. It broke down. It managed to rally back, and it's back down there. So it needs a little time for these numbers to settle in, I think, and recover. But
I haven't looked at the sector. Right, basically translation services. So I haven't looked at it. It's not something. I just instinctively feels like somewhere I wouldn't want to be an investor in, given. Yeah, lots of the progress being made elsewhere. And,
yeah, AI.
Yeah, you know, translation. It just feels like
you should away.
Probably, maybe avoid that. But but obviously, these transitions take a long time, and groups like RWS have a lot of relationships, specialisms, and you know, translating an auto manual or whatever it might be, or you know, there is a lot of work in that. But lumpy and cyclical as well.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you very much, everyone, for joining. And as always, go on, hit that like button. Go for it. Share it with someone. Share it with a stranger. So if you check this out, do that. And then, most important thing, subscribe. Hit that subscribe button and download the Vox Markets app, voxmarkets.co.uk/app. Thank you, Johnny. Are you around Friday?
I am.
Cool. Right. Okay, speak then. Cheers, fella.
Yeah, see you later.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.